Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in to this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website, 1000hillsranchchurch.com or 1000hillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about, and we've been in a series called The Gray Hat. The Gray Hat. And you say, well, what does all that mean? Well, for the last few weeks, we've looked at some of the Westerns, you know, that back in the day, some of the Westerns. And there was one thing that you always knew that about the Westerns, right? I mean, you always knew who the good guys were, and you always knew who the bad guys were. How did you know who the bad guys were? The black hat, right? How did you know who the good guys were? The white hat, right? Well, again, I wear a brown hat, so I'm just kind of in the middle. I'm a sorry, good-for-nothing, in the middle kind of guy. But here's the truth. I believe our culture has created this gray hat, right? And what I mean by that is the culture, a lot of times, they want to say, well, there's no black, there's no white, there is just a bunch of gray. Whatever feels good, you go ahead and do it. Whatever you like to do, you just go ahead and do it. If you just feel that, you know, you want to be this person, then you just be that no matter who says that it's wrong. And they don't see the right, they don't see the wrong. Well, again, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm here to declare that there is black and that there is white. Amen? There is truth and there is stuff that's not true. And so today I want to continue that series, and it'll probably be my last part of this series. But here's a couple questions that we've been asking. And the first question was this: how do we fight the gray hat agenda? How do we fight the gray hat agenda? Well, we looked at that for a couple weeks, and here's the truth. We don't fight it like the world fights it, right? I mean, the world wants to go to blows, right? The world wants to hate. They want to be, you know, they want to blow stuff up. The world says, hey, just everybody's your enemy that opposes you. I mean, forget all this, these people that oppose you. They're the enemy. But as Christians, we're called to not fight flesh and blood, but to fight the spiritual forces that come up against us. And we fight with spiritual weapons. And we talked about the greatest spiritual weapon that we have, and I have this right here, but the greatest spiritual weapon that we have isn't my opinion. It's not because I'm a preacher that I get to make up stuff. It's the truth of God's word. And so as we look at how do we fight the gray hat agenda, here is the truth in the way that we fight it. When people come to me and they say, Bo, I've got an opinion on that, I don't want to hear their opinion. I want to hear the truth. And the truth is found right here. And so again, how do we fight it? We fight it in love. And the second question is this, and this is what we looked at last week, and I'm going to continue that this week. How do we love our neighbor that we disagree with? I love that question. Anybody love that question? Because I want to know how to love my neighbor that I disagree with, and I want to be equipped to do that. I think that's a great question. How do we love the neighbor that we disagree with? Well, we're going to continue that. Last week, we learned that we are supposed to love them with two things, right? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. It's just like the Lone Ranger or Roy Rogers without trigger. It's like the Lone Ranger without Tonto. If you don't have grace, then you're just a self-righteous jerk. If you don't have truth, then you're just a pansy who just wants to tell everybody they're going to be okay. Right? Can I get a few amens? I mean, this is good stuff already, I think. So anyways, you got to have grace and you got to have truth. If you lean too much on grace, then everybody's going to be okay no matter what they believe, and all roads lead to the same place. No, that's not true. That's too much grace. If you have too much truth, then again, you're just pounding people with big birth of the Bible, and you're just hitting them on the head, and they don't like that either. So you got to have grace and truth to show the neighbor that you disagree with that you love them. Well, today we're going to look at something, and I'm going to show you a video, and you need to put your big girl panties on today, okay? Or your big boy pants on today. We're going to watch a video, and this is you're going to get to see the words of this song, and the song is called Follow Your Arrow. Many of you guys have heard it on the radio, Casey Musgraves. And I'll tell you what I like about it first, and then after the song, I'll tell you what I guess I disagree with. The thing that I like about this girl that sings this song is she's cool, man. I mean, she's a cool girl. I mean, when you see her, you're going to see a few pictures of her in this little clip. She's beautiful. She's cool. She's honest. I love it. Whether, again, I disagree with her or not, I appreciate her honesty. I get to hang around with a lot of fake people sometimes, and I don't like being around fake people. I'd rather them be who they are than fake it because they're with the preacher. Anybody? Yeah. So you're going to get to hear this, and if, again, you're a religious, self-righteous person, then you're probably not going to like this video because it's going to expose some things. But I want you to listen anyways, and I want you to, try to look maybe for the gray in this video. So watch this video. I don't know about you, but that is the culture that we live in. But here's the thing. Again, I'm not picking on Kacey Musgraves. I think she's a cool cat. I really do. I think she's one of she's going to be one of the biggest singers in our time because, again, she's not afraid to be honest. And people appreciate that, again, whether you disagree or agree with her or not. And isn't that the saddest thing that all the catchiest songs are the most immoral? I mean, anybody ever notice that? I mean, the songs that you shouldn't be singing, you're like, dang, that's a good song. And you catch yourself singing it. I don't know about you, but that's what the devil does, I think. He just makes them all catchy, and then you're like singing, smoke a joint. Yeah, let's do that. I think it's Colorado's theme song. I don't know, but but here's the thing. I want you to, again, I want you to see what is being influenced in our culture. Now, again, this isn't bash, you know, country music or anything. I'm just pointing out the truth. And what we like to do at church is we like to expose what is wrong and give you the ability and equip you to make a choice on whether you're going to choose what's right or wrong, okay? And so let's look at this song real quick. And I'm going to point out some of the gray. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. So you might as well do whatever you want. That's the gray. I mean, and again, here's the thing. You got to think about this. You're like, oh, I'm an adult. I can choose whether to do right or wrong. Well, what about your five-year-old who sings that song? What about your seven-year-old? What about your 16-year-old who sings that song? Again, it's going in their mind. Some of the other things, kiss lots of boys, kiss lots of girls, if that's what you're into. When the straight and narrow gets a little too straight, roll up a joint or don't. Follow your arrow wherever it points. And then here's the thing. I believe that she's been in church at some point in her life. I really do. And again, I'm not judging her. She may be a believer and who's just kind of lost her way. But she shares her frustrations about the church. Did you catch that? It says, if you don't go to church, then you go to hell. And if you're the first one on the front row, then you're a self-righteous son of a gun. You see the frustration there? And then she goes on to say, you can't win for losing, so and you just disappoint them. And so can I just make this clear? You are all disappointments. I'm a disappointment. And so for you guys maybe to have this attitude, well, I can't win for losing. I'm just going to disappoint everybody. We've all disappointed as somebody at some point. And so what she speaks is truth. And then she says, say what you think. Love who you love because you only get a few trips around the sun. You only live once, which is true. You only live once. And so again, I don't say that to dog Kacey Musgraves, but here's the truth. While she's honest, she's confused. This generation that we are living in is confused, but here's the truth. And again, I hate being negative, but I want to be real. But here's the thing about the generation that I'm exposing today. We are called to love them as Christ loves them. Let's get an amen on that. I need some more help here. Because all you want to do is go, boycott Kacey Musgraves. I don't like her. That's the self-righteous religious person. But the truth is, we ought to go, man, I love Kacey Musgraves because you know why? Jesus loves Kacey Musgraves. And though she may be confused, I'm going to love her with everything that I've got. Maybe she'll listen to this online. You never know. But I want her to know that I love her. And I want the culture to know that I love them. And so how do we fight the gray hat agenda? And how do we love those we disagree with? I'm going to give you six, write these down, really quick six things that I believe are biblical advice on how to love your neighbor you disagree with. You ready? Number one, you have to agree to disagree. I know that's real spiritual. But at some point, you just have to agree to disagree. I want to read you a scripture, Romans 12:18. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do you see what it's saying? If it's possible, then live at peace with everyone. In other words, you may need to just agree to disagree so that you can keep the peace. Here's the truth. As Christians, we believe in the Word of God. As non-Christians, a lot of people don't believe that the Word of God is truth. And we're just going to maybe have to disagree on that. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that. Again, Christians and non-Christians disagree on a lot of things, right? They disagree on how to spend their money. They disagree on what's right, what's wrong, and what's sin and what isn't. Here's the truth. We won't agree because we don't agree. That's just the way it is. I've got a lot of friends that I don't agree with. But again, I'm praise God that I get to call them my friend. So you say, well, how do we keep the peace? You simply have to agree to disagree. You know, and the gray hat wearers, again, they don't have to accept the Bible as truth, but a lot of the gray hat wearers that preach tolerance, that preach, you know, diversity, that preach inclusion, you know, as they boast they do, A lot of them just need to just tolerate the truth of God's word, right? So it works both ways. For the Christian, instead of trying to pretend that we agree, we need to accept the fact that we need to agree to disagree. And here's the truth, all the while trying to gather more and more people. And I'll get to that in just a second. So that's number one, agree to disagree. It's okay. It's okay to disagree. And can I just say this? If you disagree with somebody, you need to always leave the door open for them to come back and talk to you more about it. A lot of people, again, they want to go, I disagree with them. I'm never talking to them again. They're the devil. That's stupid. You need to always leave the door open for them to come right back and say, hey, let's have another conversation. You know what that's called? It's called love. So number one, agree to disagree. Number two is this. You got to turn the other cheek. This is the one that I get in trouble with. You got to turn the other cheek. Matthew 5:39 says this, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. How many of you guys, if you're going to get slapped on one cheek, you're going to slap somebody else? Anybody? Come on, it's okay. We're in church. Be honest. Now, here's the thing about this verse right here. A lot of people go, well, if they're just going to slap me, I'm going to slap them back. And that's what I want to do. But here's the truth. It's not just talking about getting beat up just so you can say you got beat up. I mean, seriously, if someone slaps me, I'm probably going to walk away if the devil doesn't get the best of me. But here's the thing. The Bible doesn't say get beat up just for the heck of it. The truth of it is, when you get called a bigot, when you get called a hater, when you get called intolerant, sometimes you just need to turn the other cheek and walk away. You see what I'm saying there? I mean, again, turning the other cheek isn't just saying, hey, you know, let's just not get into a fight here. It's maybe when you get called names or when, you know, something happens. Because here's the thing. The devil loves to distract Christians by being in a fight all the time. The devil loves to go, oh, I got them in a fight over here. They're over here fighting somebody. Well, all the while, the world that's in the middle is being left out, and we're not reaching the world that we're supposed to be reaching because we're too busy fighting a fight right over here. You see what the devil does? He goes, get into a fight with that jerk. I mean, make a big scene, get on the news, do all this stuff, and all the while we neglect the people that we're trying to reach. So he distracts us. Here's the truth about Jesus. Jesus doesn't say this so that because he enjoys us losing a fight. He says this so that when people are watching the fight, we don't lose them. You see the difference? I mean, it's not necessarily about losing a fight. It's about the people that are watching me fight that I'm either going to win or that I'm going to lose. See it? So, again, we got to agree to disagree. We got to turn the other cheek. And here's number three. How do we love those we disagree with? Number three is this. We welcome everyone in our church. Casey Musgraves is welcome in our church. Again, enemies are welcome here. I love a good opponent. Anybody love a good opponent? I mean, I like it. I don't know about you. Anybody watch the PBR this last year? The PBR finals? Anybody? Professional Bull Riders Association? Did you watch JB Mooney and the other Mexican guy? Did you watch that? I'm telling you, you need to get on YouTube if you haven't watched that, and you need to watch just the recap of the finals. You look at two opponents going after it. I mean, it was one of the greatest shows that I've ever seen. You know why? Because they enjoyed the battle. They went after it. I mean, JB Mooney rode 10 out of 10 bulls in the finals. I mean, it was amazing, and he was going head-to-head with this other guy that won the actual world title last year. I love having a great opponent. Again, it makes me rise up to the challenge. But here's the thing. We are to welcome our opponents into our church. Again, a lot of people go, that person, I mean, they're a hater. They don't need to be in our church. Now listen, we're going to welcome them in our church. And I'll give you a scripture that kind of helps you with this. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. But what's the next word? But good job. But everyone to come to repentance. You see that? I love that verse. Because a lot of people go, well, that person, they may not be, chosen to be saved. No, Jesus wants everyone to come to repentance. And so when does he say, or what does he say to us as a church? He says, include everyone, because I want everyone to come to know me. And so again, we have to welcome everybody in our church. The Lord welcomes everybody. He never made a person he didn't like. He wants everyone to be saved. And the same Bible that talks about sin equally is clear about love. In our church, we will welcome people of all types and that struggle with all types of sin. And in our church, we have people that struggle with all kinds of sin. We may have people that struggle with same-sex attraction. They're welcome in our church. We may have people that struggle with premarital sex. They're welcome in our church. We may have people that struggle with porn. They're welcome in our church. We may have an adulterer in our church. They're welcome in our church. We may have people that worry too much. They're welcome in our church. We may have people that lust and are greedy. They're welcome in our church. We are all sinners. And here's the thing. So many times the church says, nah, you got to get right before you come to our church. I mean, that's stupidity. Here's the thing. I have a horse colt. He's just a yearling. He got cut on his face. Now, again, if the cut was worse than it is, I wouldn't wait till he healed up to take him to the vet. I'm going to take him to the vet when the cut is fresh. It's the same way with the church. A lot of times we say, we expect you to clean up, get your life right before you can come to our church. It's just not true. That's stupid. I mean, I didn't come to Christ that way. I came to Christ filthy in my sin, and he cleaned me up. And so don't expect people to get their life together. They can't. They have to know Christ to get their life together, so they're welcome in our church. We're all works in progress. And so the third thing is we're going to welcome everyone. But fourth thing is this, and this goes along with number three. While we welcome everybody, we don't allow everyone to lead in our church. You get it? I mean, again, this is just a protection for our church. While we welcome everybody in our church, we're not going to let everybody lead in our church, right? I mean, 1 Timothy 3 verses 1 and 2 says this. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be an elder, he desires an honorable position. So an elder must be a man whose life is above reproach. And you say, Bo, what's that above reproach mean? Well, let me explain it to you. To be above reproach means that you always, you don't always choose what's right, but you desire to always choose what's right. I mean, again, there's people that don't choose what's right, and they just choose what's wrong because that's just what they do. And again, they're not going to be leaders in our church. We welcome them in our church, but they're not going to be leaders in our church. You know, someone that is above reproach says no to sin more than they say yes to sin. Again, we're not looking for people that are perfect. We're looking for people that when they screw up and they mess up, they repent. And they say, I am not going to do that anymore, and I'm going to choose to do what God wants me to do. That's what we are looking for. We are looking for Christians who are living in repentance. When they sin, they go, I did wrong, I confess it, and I'm going to choose to do what's right. And so while we welcome everybody in our church, we're not always going to put them in leadership until they begin to practice the truth of God's word. You know, these type of people need to agree with the Bible, and then they say, I know it's a sin, and I'm getting rid of it. Those are the people that we love. Those are the people that we can use in leadership. So number four goes with number three. We welcome everybody, but we don't allow everybody to lead our church, okay? Number five is this. The best defense is a good offense. The best defense is a good offense. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Again, the best defense is a good offense. You say, well, what should our offense be? Again, our offense is the Word of God. Our greatest weapon isn't, again, what I feel is right. It's what the truth of God's Word says. And so we fight and we demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. We demolish wrong thoughts through the truth of God's Word. Here's the thing. The best thing that we can do as a church to fight the gray hat agenda is to teach the truth of God's Word. Do you get it? I mean, it's not to go and, you know, say, you're wrong and you're wrong, and go find everybody that's wrong and then start a fight. Again, that's a sorry way to go about it. It's just to teach the truth. When people come and they're dying in their sin, we teach the truth so that they can be set free from it. We give them a choice, right? So again, we teach it. The best thing, listen, the best thing that a church can do for marriages is teach, encourage, and assist people in the truth of God's Word about marriage. Right? I mean, that's why we teach on sex and marriage. A lot of people, you know, can you get, and I don't know if you realize this or not, but the most well-attended month that we have is the month of February. And I think we have kids like 9 months later after that month, too. Lots of kids. And we teach on sex and marriage. This next month, probably even starting next week, we're going to start a sermon series. My wife and I are going to start a sermon series called Going All the Way. You like that title? I kind of liked it. But we're going to start a series called Going All the Way. And we're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to do it, you know why? Because the world is talking about it. So why shouldn't the church? I mean, it's so stupid. I mean, the world just infiltrates our lives and our minds with stuff that's wrong, but the church stands silent and goes, we better not say those words in church. We're going to teach it. Best thing we can do for marriages. You know what else we can do for marriages? We can require premarital counseling. One of the greatest things that I was taught as a young pastor was I need to do premarital counseling with everybody that I marry. I require 4 hours of premarital counseling before everybody that I marry, whether you're 67 or 17. You know why I do it? Because I feel that if I can give them some tools to make their marriage great and last forever, I've done something good. And so again, the best defense is a good offense. And what else do we teach? We teach our kids. We teach single adults. We teach college kids God's plan for dating, God's plan for sex, and God's plan for relationships. And again, why do we do that? Here's the deal. We want to see less divorce. Now, let's just be honest. I want to see less divorce. And I know many of you have been through a divorce. And guess what? You're welcome in our church. A lot of people go, oh, I can't be used by God. I was divorced. No, you can't. That's stupid too. I mean, I've given Jesus many a reason because of my sin, because of doing something wrong or making a wrong choice for him not to use me, and he still uses me. So if you've been through a divorce and it wasn't your fault, I mean, again, God wants to use you. If you've been through a divorce and it was your fault, again, God can forgive you and he wants to use you. And so we want to lessen the divorce rate. I hate divorce. I do. I don't hate the divorcee people, but I hate divorce. You know why? Because God hates divorce. It ruins people sometimes. And so, again, we teach on that. It's the best offense to teach them that. You know what else we teach our kids? We teach our kids the Word of God. My wife is teaching your kids right now in the children's church. And she's teaching them the Word of God. It's the best offense. I mean, it's the best defense by giving them the tools that they need. What else do? We expose the gray areas in the media. You know what? Maybe I'm stupid, maybe I don't know, but I let my daughter and my son, maybe my son, he's five, he doesn't understand a whole lot, but I let my daughter be exposed to certain things on TV, right? She may have seen two girls kissing on TV. She may have seen it just on, maybe even on a, like an entertainment show. And here's the thing. While I don't expose her to it every day, all day, very long, at least it brings up the conversation. And at her age, she needs to hear about it. You know why? Because she hears about it in class at seven. And so, again, I'm not telling you to get the porn out and show your kids a porn. I'm just saying, here's the deal. You need to talk to your kids a little bit. When they bring it up, don't go, we're not talking about that. A lot of kids can't handle it. My daughter's really inquisitive. She understands things before I can tell her about them. So she knows, but you got to be discerning on what your kids are exposed to. But we expose gray areas in the media and at school so that they can know the truth. We show them through our actions that there is black and there is white, and we lead by example how to love people that we disagree with. I pray with my daughter and my son before they go to school. I pray with them every day, and I pray that God would help use them to reach out to the people that don't know Jesus. And guess what? They're going to be exposed to kids lying. They're going to be exposed to kids cussing. They're going to be exposed to a lot of crap. But here's the thing. If I've prepared them, I've given them the best offense that they've got. I don't know about you, but I think that's good stuff. The best thing that we can do to reach people, the unchurched people, again, is to be full of grace and truth. Here's the thing. I'm almost done. We cannot sit back and not fight any longer. We are losing ground every day, and I don't know about you, but I am going to commit to engage, to impact, and to penetrate our community. And I hope that our church is doing the same thing. We must ask, what can we do to help, not sit back and wait for people to ask us what they need. And so again, the best offense or the best defense is a good offense. Number six, and I'm done. This is it. Number six, the backlash is a blessing. This is the part we don't like either. The backlash is a blessing. Here's the truth. If you stand for truth, even if you do it in love, you're going to receive some backlash. Our church is going to receive backlash. The pastor is going to receive backlash. You're going to receive backlash if you stand for truth. But look at Matthew 5. It says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember that the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Listen, if you stand for truth, which you ought to stand for truth, but do it in love, if you do that, you might get persecuted. But the truth is, the backlash is a blessing. Did you hear what the word said? I mean, people are going to mock you, but great is your reward in heaven. I don't know if I'm going to ever receive a reward on this earth for standing up for truth, but I praise God that one day when I get to heaven, God may be able to stand from his, you know, seat, his throne, and may be able to stand and say, well done, Bo, well done. I'm proud of you because you stood for truth. That's all I care about. I don't care about your applause. I don't care about their applause. All I care about is him saying, well done. I'm going to stand because you need to be honored. That's what I care about. And the truth is, if the persecution comes and it's God's will for me to be persecuted, bring it on. we are going to be slapped in the face by being called bigots. We're going to be slapped in the face by being called intolerant, shameful, cruel, unloving, homophobic, prejudiced. We're going to be called all kinds of things. And rather than fighting back or running away, God invites us to endure. He says, persevere under persecution, and I will shine through you. And so listen, when we live, because we live in this generation, we are chosen by God to live for Him in this generation. And I love it. I love it. And again, you guys are like, dang, that preacher's bold. He's going to face a lot of persecution because he said, bring it on. You know what? I think about that after I say that. But here's the truth. Bring it on. I want my kids to see a father that's their hero, not a pansy. I want to go down with a blaze of glory, not running. And so listen, I don't say that, you know, again, to make you feel like a jerk. I just say that because I desire for you to join in the fight with me. Let's go down together. I want people, I desire a church that's willing to fight for the truth, but do it in love and do it in grace. I, for one, am going to fight the gray hat agenda. Love is my motive, grace is my loop, and truth is the medicine that sets people free. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm asking you to join me. I'm asking you to fight with me. And we'll be better together than we are apart. And so listen, maybe you're wearing the gray hat today. Listen, we encourage you to take that gray hat off and begin to wear the hat that God has given you. And it may be that white hat. Hopefully it is. And you put that white hat on, you say, I'm going to live for the truth. I'm going to begin to not compromise with my life. I'm going to begin to live for Him. That may be you. You may be here today and you're saying, Bo, I don't even know. I can't take off and you know the gray hat because I don't have the power to do it. I've been wearing the gray hat all my life and I've never been able to kick all the stuff that's kicking me. Listen, the only way that you can take that gray hat off, that gray hat of sin in your life, is to know Jesus Christ personally. He's the only person that can turn your black hat or your gray hat into a white hat. And He can do it by forgiving you of your sin. And He's the only one that can do that. And so maybe you need to say to the Lord today, Lord, I want to take off the gray hat and the black hat, and I want to live for you. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo, I'm a Christian, but I wear a gray hat? How many of you guys would admit that? Raise your hand. I'm a Christian, but I wear a gray hat. Anybody? Yeah, a few people all across the room. Yep. Thank you for being honest. Here's the thing. It's just like I said, the Bible says, you know, we've got to pull the plank out of our own eye before we ever go to someone else and say, hey, you need to change. And so if you need to change today, I encourage you to do it today. Don't wait until you get out of here and your life gets busy and then you go to eat and you never forget or you never remember what I just said. Do it today. Do it now. With your head bowed, your eyes closed, in your own heart, say, God, help me take the gray off. Ask Him. Say, God, when I am faced with another opportunity to either show black or white or wear that gray hat, help me to choose what's right. No matter who's around, no matter if it's uncool, help me to choose to do what's right. And help me to do it in love. And help me to show grace to those that I disagree with. Maybe that needs to be your prayer. Refuse to live the gray life. Commit to lovingly fight the gray Maybe in your family, maybe you're a parent and you've stood for gray. Your kids get to watch shows, or they get to watch this or that, or you've bought them games or whatever that is all about the gray. Listen, some of you need to get rid of those out of your house because you're just teaching them the gray. Maybe you've bought them music that teaches them the gray. Again, we listen to that, but it's the exception, not the rule. And it's to teach them something. Maybe you need to, again, allow that stuff to be out of your house. Maybe you need to allow God to use you to change the world that you live in. Listen, Christians, I challenge you. Don't give the enemy, don't give those who don't know Christ a reason not to know Christ by the way that you live. Confess it, ask him to forgive you, and let's move forward. Maybe you're here today, and again, you may be that person that wears that gray hat because you can't get it off. You've lived at the gray hat for a while, and you want to change, but you've tried to change, but you've tried in your own strength. You've never tried in the strength of Jesus Christ. Listen, the first step for you is to say, Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sin, and I need you to come into my life. Forgive me for wearing the gray hat. Forgive me of the sin in my life. And I want to begin to live a life that honors you. You know what that's called? That's called salvation. He saves you from your sin. And he empowers you to say no to it from here on out. And so maybe you need to do that right there in your chair. You just need to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life and save you. I encourage you to do it now. Don't wait. Here's what we're going to do. If you made a decision today, again, we want you to tell us so that we can fight this fight with you, so that we can come alongside of you and encourage you. Fill out that orange card, put it in the yellow bucket, and we will contact you. If you don't want to do that, text your name to the number on the screen, and we will contact you. You don't have to write a long text. Just put your name on it, text it to the number, and we will contact you. It's that simple. So if you made a decision, we want to know about it so that we can encourage you and equip you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. If you have questions, we have answers. And if you want to talk or if you need prayer, we want to do that for you today. And if you're a first-time guest, we'd love to connect with you right outside the north door. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your life that you've shown us how to live. We thank you that you are full of grace and truth. And may we walk in this world with those same two things. Give us the guts. Give us the strength and the boldness to fight the fight. But not in a way that the world fights it, but in a way that reaches more people. And so show us how to do that. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this awesome church. And we pray that you would continue to tear down religious barriers and allow us to build authentic relationships with unchurched people so that they can come to know you personally. And so, Lord, we praise you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here. Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, Thousand Hills Ranch Church at yahoo.com, or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.